Happy Monday, everybody. Hey, it is the 19th of September, 2022. To put it in a little bit of perspective, it's the day of the Queen's funeral. Okay, maybe you've been watching that on TV. My name's Larry Jacobs. This is Pre-K-12 Education Talk Radio. And God save the Queen, God save the King. There we go. The new era begins. All right. And we've got a new era starting today because we got Amy Valentine here. Amy is the executive director of Future of School, which is a national public charity working to mobilize change. I like this in K-12 education so every student can reach their potential and no matter where they live. Okay. I hate education by zip code. That's kind of what happens. But there is a challenge out there. And we're coming off the pandemic. And, you know, kids, every kid has said in their lifetime, ooh, I hate school. You know, but now it's really getting to be something that with all the change that has happened, 75% of kids or thereabouts say that they're really not that happy with school. So Amy's group is trying to make a difference. And they've created something called the No More I Hate School campaign, the No More I Hate School campaign. And so we're going to talk with Amy about that. And again, Amy is the executive director of Future of School. I'm Larry Jacobs. We're going to archive this show of Education Talk Radio over at ace-ed.org. That's ace-ed.org. Okay, that's the American Consortium for Equity in Education, our main website, our magazine. Equity and Access is over there. You can click on that. It's an online journal. Read through this good issue. You'll enjoy it. We got tons of information over there as well. We also have links to teacherretention.com. That's a big challenge these days, okay? We have wonderful professional development available to you over there, so please check that out. You can link at teacher-retention.com, seltoday.org, our SEL Resource Center. We're extending through the end of September, about 11 more days or so, the Excellence in Equity Awards program. We did have a lot of nominations right at the end, so we extended it. Okay, you can nominate yourselves, you can nominate others, nominate companies, nominate your school, whatever you do, just look at the categories. Ton of stuff over there, a lot of interest in that, and Excellence in Equity K-12, we're really trying here, so please check that out as well. And, of course, every podcast we do, like this one, is going to be archived there as well. It is there. All right, so please check it out. Let me clear my throat. Pardon me as I turned my head. I should have turned off the mic. Okay, and here's Amy. Amy, it's Larry here. How you doing?
Hi, Larry. I'm great. It's so wonderful to be here with you. And also, I'm sharing in your seasonal allergy. So if I go on mute, it's the cough as well. So
there you go. I do it all the time. It's just nuts. Well, are you in Colorado? Where are you? Are you Colorado? Where are you?
Yep, I'm in Colorado. Mm-hmm.
Where in beautiful Colorado?
Just south of Denver, about 20 minutes south of the city.
Nice. Okay, good. How's the weather?
Mm-hmm.
Good today. Oh, golly, no, Castle Rock quite well. Okay, good weather today. So at least so far, it's only
we're looking at 80s.
Ooh,
yeah, we're looking at 80s this week, and then probably what will happen early next week is snow. It usually happens before October, so we're we get a little up and down in the fall.
Yeah, I watched the Broncos, and all of a sudden there's a snowstorm there. The next day it melts to 55 degrees. I know the story. Okay, it's good. Hey, everybody, you want to go to Future of School? Just Google. You don't have to Google. Just go to on your browser, www.futureofschool, or you can go to No More I School. Let me say that again. No More I Hate School, which is the name of the campaign.org. Okay, so go over there if you want to follow what we're doing here, though I do have some of it linked as you're listening to the show. All right. And, you know, kiddingly, every kid, including me, especially, I think through my whole 12 years in school, oh, I hate school. God, I can't wait. Then, of course, we can give our eye teeth just to go back there once we start working. Okay? But so what can I tell you? All right? But there really is a sea change out there, and it's scary, in my opinion. You know, we got to kick, what was the number? I think 75%. You have it on the website. Let me get, I have it right here. Yeah, 75% of high school students self-reported negative feelings. Isn't that a shame? About school. Tired, stressed, board, okay, it's from a 2020 study from Yale, a small institution in New Haven, Connecticut, talked about what's going on. And Amy, feel free to talk about Future of School as well. Put it in the whole picture. Future of School is the umbrella, and then I Hate School underneath. Go ahead.
Sure.
Amy.
All right. Well,
you're
on. Please
interrupt. Good morning. Thanks for being here, Amy. Yeah. And alert. Thank you.
Only for you and your audience. I'm just kidding.
Thanks, pal.
Please, Larry, as I go through this, interrupt me with questions because I'm knee-deep in it. I live it every day. And so just stop me. But like you said, Future of School, we're a nonprofit. We've been around since 2016, giving scholarships to kids who've taken online and blended classes. Basically, they've transformed their path looks like using some sort of technology. We've given grants to teachers who want to transform their classrooms and then publish research to share with society as a whole about the need that there is to change what school looks like, to bring it up to speed, to bring it into this new age that we're in.
Yep.
And so
I'm going to interrupt. Yeah. I've got to say one thing. I love what you're doing. This is great stuff. Okay. The schools are the way schools are basically not all day long, but they're basically run the same way they were run when I was a kid, which was about 37,000 years ago. Okay.
Not that long ago.
And I have to say, okay, kids have changed. Okay, kids have changed. The audience has changed. Okay. And we're constantly fighting. I just had to say this before we get into what you're going to say. We're constantly fighting this bureaucracy that is leaving things, quote, the way they are. Now, I know every teacher says, oh, it's different inside my classroom. It is. I agree. Okay. But the general thing, okay, it needs change. And I'll talk about, go ahead, Amy. It makes me crazy.
No,
you know, go ahead.
It's great to hear your perspective on it. When we had our first board meeting in 2016, Dr. Rod Page, former Secretary of Education under George W. Bush, he's on our board. Yeah. And he said in 2016, the rate and pace of change in education is not near the same rate and pace of change in every other entity of society.
Hello. Yes, that's correct. He is correct.
So we use that as a guiding principle for the work that we did. And we don't, you know, our nonprofit, we say we're apolitical, agnostic. We don't endorse anyone. We don't say it's online learning or it's homeschooling. We say technology is the great lever that can be pulled to catalyze change and inherently increase equity and inherently increase access. It's the great equalizer. We talk about that.
I agree.
So okay. I'm sure listeners are thinking, well, how did you get to this No More I Hate School? So, Larry, I think you're going to like this story. And it's not one we've publicized yet because we're just launching the campaign. But, you know, we went through the pandemic.
Thank you for including us.
Yeah. Yeah, of course. We went through the pandemic and we realized that we were talking about online and blended learning that's been around for decades. But what our country was experiencing with was kids learning on their computers. It wasn't the same as online and blended learning.
Right.
It wasn't intentional with trained teachers. And we all know the pain points because we heard them from parents. And schools struggled. And I think schools did amazing jobs of standing up ways to keep kids connected, like pretty much overnight. And I think that's something that should be recognized among administrators and teachers. And so I decided a year ago last summer that if I was going to be leading this organization into the future, I needed to hear from kids. And so the best way for me to do that was to be in schools. And so last summer I committed that last year on days that I didn't have any meetings, which was about, it ended up being on average 4 or 5 times a month. I knew ahead of time. I reissued my sub license because I used to be a teacher, and I went into schools and I substitute taught.
Wow.
And so I had no idea. You see, that's a little plot twist. You probably didn't know about that, right?
I love it.
I didn't intend anything around this campaign. It actually was born from my experience of substitute teaching because I used to teach and I would hear kids say it. But what was different about when kids say it now, it's just become a common phrase that they say. a lot of them, most of them. It used to be maybe kids who struggled in school or kids who were bored, but it from like fourth grade up, I heard it in every grade level from all different classes. And so I started to ask them, you know, at the end of class, we'd have a couple extra minutes and I'd say, well, you know, I know you guys were kind of grumbling before, you know, if you want to fill out this note card anonymously, tell me what makes school great to be at and why do you not like to be here? And then I would collect them and I would read them anonymously. I'd read them, you know, after I had dinner at night, I'd read them in my house. And what I started to realize was the reasons why kids, and granted, this isn't, I'm not saying this is a statistically valid number, but it was representative.
Anecdotal is just as important.
Yeah, from different schools and different classes, what I realized was the reasons why they said they didn't like school, that list was very, very, very familiar to me. And I went back to the research that we published in 2020, right before the pandemic. Why do students choose blended and online learning? They were almost exactly the same. I'm bored. It goes too fast. I don't want to do worksheets.
Yep.
I'm bullied. And I had this aha moment, and I said, the reasons why they say they don't like it is because they're struggling, and they want choice. They want voice. And sometimes they just wanted to be heard. Sometimes what they would put on there was things like, I want a two-hour lunch, or I want more vegetarian options in the kitchen from the cafeteria. And that was as equally as valuable, too. And so two things I learned out of that was, one, we could use this as an opportunity to better support students, not so that they love school, but so that we at the very minimum work with them and give them support so that they don't go in and say that they hate somewhere where they are 1,000 out of their 6,000 waking hours.
Wow.
And the other piece was elevating their voices.
Yeah. Right. Absolutely. They're the customers. Okay. If Walmart didn't do that, Walmart would be out of business. Okay. If any company didn't listen to the customers, they would be out of business. And I loved your point before. You know, you talk about virtual learning and blended learning. That's not what happened during the pandemic. And you made a good point of this. What happened in the pandemic with the remote learning was we were forced into it. Okay. And again, I won't take anything away from teachers. They did a great job. Okay. They really did. I mean, you know, because the standard line was that, you know, we're building the plane as we're flying it. Okay. They did a great job. But they weren't trained in this, okay? This was something that they really had to stand up and do it, and they did the very best job they could, but they weren't trained in it, okay? And technology, which I agree with you, is the great equalizer, okay? But we're stuck into a bureaucracy, okay, that's changing way too slow for the pace of change in the society. And the kids... okay, are reflective of that. They're the digital natives, okay? And although they do a lot of digital work in school, these kids know how to look at a computer screen and do stuff, okay? And they can do that at home on their hours, et cetera, et cetera. You know, the classic to me, Amy, why I hate school, I'll give you a classic example of the bureaucracy. There is we know, this is guaranteed, that if teenagers could sleep longer, okay, they would do much better in school. School should start later for teenagers so they can sleep. Okay. It's sleep in. Everybody knows that's a fact. Okay. It's not even a question. It's a fact. Okay. And yet we still have school starting early. Okay. Now the reason we do is again, I can give you a million reasons why, but we know something else works better and we got to make the change. And that's why kids are dreary during the school. A lot of kids are dreary during school. Okay. No wonder they don't like it. All right. And we've got to make the change to suit the customers. Okay. And they are customers. All right. And then believe me, they'd be better. And here I go. You got me going now. I'm stealing your thunder, for goodness sakes.
Right. It's your perspective is fantastic, especially that, the scheduling piece, right?
Yeah.
It's just even that scheduling, what time they go, or having choice in when they go.
Thank you. Why don't we just do that? I mean, it's just so nuts. Okay. So you work with school districts. I think you've worked with Future of School. You've worked with about 200, 250 school districts. There are 13,000 of them, by the way, but you've done a pretty good job. Okay, you guys have reached out. And has there been good change in those school districts you're working with? They're in a group called Future of School. What's changed? How are we doing? How are the kids doing in those districts?
Yeah, I would say that, you know, the way that we historically and currently work with districts is by giving grants to teachers, grants to schools, and grants to districts that where they want to be able to implement some sort of transformation.
Yeah.
So during the pandemic, I mean, I know it's kind of fuzzy, like what year are we talking about? But in 2021, we gave eight districts and schools large grants that had demonstrated their ability to implement resilience specifically.
Because
we looked at it as an organization, we said, okay, so we had the pandemic, but what about a weather issue? Or what about, you know, life happens, things happen. And what the pandemic showed us was our schools weren't well equipped for unexpected emergencies.
That's right.
And so how could we give more financial support and opportunity to districts and schools that had really used that as an opportunity to change? And yes, and they did it. And we actually went to their districts and schools with big checks. And we have some of these on our website and on our social media. We brought big checks to honor them and recognize them for their achievements. And they did everything from purchasing robots for online students. There's a private school that has students. The kids want to feel like they're part of the class, but they're remote. They have medical issues or they're geographically isolated. They show up to school and they drive their robot to their class. So you talk about
they're there.
Leading edge blended learning. Yeah.
Yeah.
Yep. So it was everything from that to a science teacher in Florida who wanted to integrate some technology in her classroom, and even a teacher in just north of New York City who an ELL ELA teacher who speaks Spanish and English, but she has students that speak other languages. They speak Mandarin Chinese. They speak Arabic.
Mm-hmm.
They're in her
mm-hmm.
class. She has to figure out how to communicate with them, and they
mm-hmm.
don't speak English.
Mm-hmm.
This grant that she received funded I didn't even know this existed. Headsets that she speaks into her phone into an app. The kids wear headsets that are they're pre-programmed to their particular language, and it translates what she's saying into their language for critical information. I mean, obviously ELL and ELA is immersion, but they don't have that issue where they can't understand a word she's saying.
That is wonderful, and I didn't know that existed either. I kind of think something like that existed, but I had no idea it was that easy to do it.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, it's
mm-hmm.
just. You know, there's a million things that we can do, and they're doable, all right? And we just got to keep this up. We got to be smart about this. Things are changing, okay? And as I always say, it's very tough. What we all deal with basically is a publicly run bureaucracy, okay? So that's what we put a manager called a superintendent in, a publicly run bureaucracy. Think about that, okay? So we've got to – it's tough out there. So we got to do it. So, all right, no more I hate school, okay? Well, how do you see that playing out? What do you want to happen with this?
So the pie in the sky, the big dream for this campaign is that it spreads like wildfire, because we have it set up like right now like the Got Milk commercial. And what's different about it is it's not, you know, Got Milk was to sell milk. Our goal is to provide solutions to educate people and have this be a solutions-based campaign where kids feel heard. Adults have new resources that we're developing. We've developed some, and we're currently producing more resources that they can use to talk to kids, to work with kids, to have a pep assembly, to make this like a school-based, you know, dare to keep kids off of drugs. Like, we want to commit to being an NMHIS, NMIHS, no more I hate school. We are committed to not saying that. Kids are still going to say it. But when you raise the awareness for people, especially that we as a school or we as a community or we as a household, I as a mom, I'm committed to not responding by saying, well, you have to do it. Or I walked uphill both ways in my brother's shoes and I turned out just fine. Suck it up. Like, those are oft responses. That's often what people say.
Yeah. Things have to change. Okay. It's that simple. And, you know, I love it, you know, future of school. If we don't change that attitude, okay, there's not going to be much of a future of school. All right?
That's
you
true.
Know, you're, I mean, you can't have the people who go to school hating it. And, you know, it's a funny line, I hate school. You know, kids been saying that for years, as I said. We've been saying that for years. But it was never really true. It was just something kids say because they were mad for the day or they wanted to go sledding. All right, I hate school. Jeez, it's terrible.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. It's more serious now. Okay. It's for real now. All right. 75% of kids say, let's go over that thing, say they don't like it. I mean, it's just something that we really got to look at. And I've been saying this for a long time. We call it student voice, but we really have to listen to it. All right. Because we can make it better for everybody. You know, teachers get frustrated too. If kids feel that way, a teacher is not happy in their work. And we've got the challenge of, you know, this number, 45 or 48% of educators are thinking of leaving the profession, and we have no pipeline to replace them. All right?
Right.
Larry. Yes, please.
Yeah, I just want to share with you that, well, I probably substitute taught, I'd say last year, I didn't tally it up, probably say 30 to 40 days-ish.
Yeah,
they were hard days. I wasn't going in with Mary Poppins with my, kids don't like school. I'm going to be able to cure that.
Yeah.
It pushed me. I wasn't expecting that. I had no expectations going into the school other than I want to hear what kids have to say.
By umbrella, Mary Poppins. Anyway.
And every time I went back to substitute teach, I had to, I mean, that's a pretty good analogy because every time I went back, I put a different tool in my toolkit, whether it was little cards for them or writing them a little card like, I really like how you finished your work today, or making those, that relationship, which teachers, that's why teachers go into teaching, is because they want to leave an impact. They want to work with kids. They care about kids. But those days were long and hard because the kids didn't know me. I was rarely in the same classroom. And so it was for me a challenge of, okay, what can I do to both have an impact and also use this as an opportunity to learn from them, to better represent them. And so I can attest to the fact that it was hard. It was very hard.
Yeah.
But awesome.
What did you learn about in your substituting days? I'm just curious. I mentioned this a minute ago. You know, if kids aren't happy in school, they're going to be grumpy. And grumpy kids make it harder and harder to teach. Okay. Obviously. Okay. When you talk to your fellow educators, if you did, what did they have to say about all this? If in fact you talked to them about it, what was their attitude?
Yeah. I mean, so there's a teacher that I talked to that comes to mind, who's in California, and she's been teaching for years and years and years. And when I told her about this campaign, she went in the next day and she did the same thing I did at the end of class. She said, hey, you know, to write down what you like about school and, you know, what you don't like about school. She said she was amazed. This was in April. She had been with these kids all year. She said she never thought about asking them when she hears them. She never thought about it stopping and asking them. For her, it was eye-opening that they said what she anticipated them to say, but she never stopped and asked them. And it gave an opportunity for that reflection and kind of group decision-making about, okay, for her, because it was her class. The top three reasons that I heard that are anonymous are you don't want as many worksheets, or you don't want to sit behind your desk as much, or, you know, it's boring. What can we do to change that? I am not going to say we can do all those things. You know, we can't do field trips every day, but just engaging them in that conversation. So I heard from her an aha moment. And I also heard from her a revitalized commitment to using technology to engage kids.
Cool.
Because when kids don't feel heard, or they are bored, or they become disengaged, they fiddle in their seat, they bother their neighbor, they find, you know, there's a lot of different things that come as a result of it. Whereas, you know, one very small example, you know, I was subbing fifth grade last year, and the assignment was to read chapter 2 in Secret Garden, and the kids were like, oh man, and the teacher wanted to do the, you know, popcorn. So you pick me, and then, you know, I pick someone else. I mean, there's kids in there with undiagnosed learning disabilities. There's kids who are struggling with dyslexia who are going to be called on to read in front of the class. And so,
of course, it's ridiculous.
I said, how about this? They grumbled so much. I said, how about this? How about if you take out your books, and how about if I download it on Audible, and and you follow in your books, and then we'll listen to it. Transformative. Wow. You could hear a pin drop. They listened, they read, and then when they left the room, I was super proud of myself. I was like, okay, that's really great. And then that night I realized, then I was disappointed. I was like, that's the equivalent of you wheeling in a VCR cart, Amy. That's not even technology. That's just presenting information in a different kind of way. Like that's how much room we have to go. So I was proud
of
myself, of course, but then it made me realize how far we have to go, but that technology is the bridge between that.
But if we put our minds to it, we can make that happen. That's the other side of this coin. We may have a long way to go, but we have the way to get there. Okay? And we have literally, this is what I love about your group. You have to reimagine, okay, the way we're working this every day. Okay? And again, I'm going to say it again, understand who the students are today. And not only are the kids different from a digital age, there's also a great deal more diversity, and the kids come from different cultures, and that makes a huge impact. Okay. So actually it's interesting. Those kids who only spoke Mandarin Chinese. Okay. They would be bored as hell in school because they might be very intelligent kids. Okay. I don't know, but they're not getting this information they need. All right.
They're like the community that they live within speaks that language. So maybe they've recently moved here. Maybe they've recently moved from, from Florida. And so not only is it's really understanding each child and then balancing that with providing personalized learning options for kids, because you never know. We mean, you never know when they're acting out. You don't know what's going on at home. They could have had the greatest achievement, or they could have had the worst moment of their life. You know, we just don't know.
That's right. And, you know, you ask that kid, I'll just use a couple of Chinese kids, okay? You ask that kid when the kid gets out, I didn't learn anything, Mom, okay? They're not speaking, literally, they're not speaking my language, okay? I hate it. They're not doing it. See, again, you get that hate it thing, okay? They don't hate it, okay? There's something missing that's not making it exciting to them. So how many schools do you want to say? What do you want? The No More I Hate School. Do you want schools to sign up? You want districts to sign up? You want individual teachers to sign up? It's nomoreihateschool.org, everybody. Okay, just like it sounds. Mm-hmm. Okay, what are your expectations of educators right now, or schools, however you want to phrase it, Amy?
I mean, I think it might drive my team a little bit crazy, and that's why they're so awesome, because when we sit down and do our planning, they're like, okay, who is this campaign for? And my response is, it's for everybody. And they say, Amy, you remember our organization is like a peacock. We are big and beautiful and have great intentions, but we're still an emerging organization, so we have these skinny little legs underneath that most people don't realize that we're an emerging organization. And my team is so incredible. And what we've been able to successfully do is create the baseline supports, right? Conversation starters. We have an ebook of inspirational stories of students that I want to share a little quote in a minute with the audience. We've been able to do that for educators, for parents, for districts, and for students. So we're going to continue to add to that repository so that we can give some solutions, because it's not always about having a full, okay, we have to have this whole program implemented. What I've learned, and I think where, you know, you see lots of stories being shared, is sometimes it's those teeny tiny little statements. Sometimes it's that one thing you do different as a parent, instead of the walked uphill both ways in my brother's shoes. Sometimes it's hey, let's look online for let's look for a math resource online that can help you. Or, you know, sometimes it's those small things that can make a difference. And we know that from our scholarship winners who have pioneered and championed that. So we want to give tools, resources, and strategies, and we will continue to do that. But also, we want to share people's stories, because the future of school isn't us sitting, you know, in our offices saying what it is. It's evolving every day, and we want to share what's happening in Silverton School District with a school of 81 kids where they're on the leading edge. We want to share what's happening in schools across the country because there is change happening, and we want to be able to share how is technology transforming what you're doing, because there is a correlation we know between blended online learning solves for many of the challenges that kids face and it's not about not doing away with brick and mortar. It's how can we transform brick and mortar to learn from what blended online has done, because there's room for everybody. Their kids need all kinds of learning environments.
They do indeed. And also you're saying something that to me was very important. Okay. We talk about blended and virtual learning. We've got to train teachers. We've got to have trained teachers who know how to teach in that circumstance. Now, that is not a derogatory comment to everybody who worked so hard during the pandemic, okay? But they were never trained, okay, to be virtual remote teachers, okay? We have to change that. But there's a number of things we have to change in educator training, okay, so that they are ready for this world. We, unfortunately, the education schools are so far behind. They're training them for a world of 1999. Okay. And that's the wrong world. Okay.
Yep.
That's there. Now this is now. Okay. And you said it, you know, the technology is the key. I agree with you wholeheartedly. It is the great equalizer. Okay. That kid who needs physics and Chinese, we can actually find somebody who can do that. Okay, that person who can teach that is available to them. I don't care where they are. Okay, we can do it.
Yes.
Okay, that kid won't hate school anymore. Okay, because she doesn't understand half of what's being said. I mean, it's just so darn important. Keep going, Amy. I'm sorry, you got me all excited here.
No, I have like three. I have like three.
That's good.
I have, you definitely keep me on track, because, yeah, you know that I would be on the phone. I would be on here all day, and you would have to kick me off. you know, I want to share just a quick personal story, and I normally don't, but, you know, my son just started high school, and he was the kid, right? Last year I said, me launching this No More I Hate School campaign had nothing to do with him, but he's said for years he doesn't like school. I don't like it. And he has dysgraphia, which dysgraphia is to writing what dyslexia is to reading. So he struggles with written expression.
Yep.
So he has a 504, but before that, the teachers thought, you know, oh, he's being lazy because he knows the information, but he can't write it, right? Geez. He's not writing it.
Geez.
So long story short, he just started high school, and this kid loves basketball, and he's going to a school where there's kids from his basketball team. It is night and day, Larry. He still doesn't, the academics he still struggles with, but because he wants to be there and it's a more kind of open, you know, there's no uniforms, he can chew gum, he's more motivated in school. And so what happened was one of his teachers, who shall remain nameless in subject and name, she failed him on a test for spelling. Well, his 504, and I will add this, it's in foreign language. So, I mean, it's hard enough anyways for kids to spell in English. And
yes,
so, you know, I met with her. She's a very nice teacher. She, you know, she has a certain way of teaching, and it's hard to understand his way of learning. And so where I left it with him was, and she's fully supportive of this. We, you know, I went and met with her. I met with the school. That one situation of him feeling isolated and embarrassed and, you know, being called, because he, you know, she kind of, you know, called him out in class, which, you know, I hold no grudge against. Here's the solution. I called the district. I said, look, I'm not sure that her teaching style is going to meet his learning style. He wants
Good
to
point.
Take this class. You have a full-time online program where kids in the district can take these classes online. If at the end of the quarter, it's not a good fit still,
it's great.
What needs to happen for him to switch to online? And the director said, consider it done. If that's the way he learns best, we can switch him at semester. We'll work with the school. And so he can take an online class. Well, it's in the brick and mortar school. The solutions can all fit together, right? It's not, oh, okay, now I'm going to pull you out and I'm going to homeschool you. And I think I know that because I've been on that world. And I think parents are now at a space where they're going to be challenged to figure that out because because you don't want to hear your kids saying that they're stressed about it, or it's frustrating, or they're getting bullied. There are lots of creative solutions, and that's what we want to share as an organization. Is okay, this is what Mary Jones did in Arkansas. This is what such and such did in LA. Whether it's a teacher or a parent, it's a united front. We're all in it for the kids, right?
We hope. We hope. Okay. We certainly
I'm
hope.
I'm an eternal optimist. You know me.
Your point is very well taken. I'm just going to use what you just said about that teacher. That is not derogatory towards a teacher. And sometimes teachers feel that it is. The kid must learn the way I teach. They've been assigned to my class. Okay. But if you take it out of a school context, if you go to a doctor and you find that you just don't like the doctor's attitude, okay, regardless of how well the doctor is trained, you'll probably go to another doctor. Okay. Mm-hmm. And just think of it that way. Okay. And it's the same thing with a kid. If a kid doesn't match a teacher's pedagogical style, okay, and just doesn't learn with that teacher, there's another teacher. There's another way for that kid to learn. And that's what we have to mm-hmm. be able to do it. And the point is, he can take that online class. And I think, did you say he's taking it within the school? Like he just
oh
goes
yeah,
to
he
lab
will go. To the, they have a lab. Yep, he'll go to the lab. They have a lab all day that kids can go into if they're taking these online classes, and then he doesn't have to leave. He doesn't have,
exactly.
you know, he just he'll go to the lab and take it online through the district, which is awesome
right.
for
so,
the district because.
Right, and the point is, it's not derogatory against the teacher. Okay,
no,
the teacher has her method of teaching. That's fine. Okay, but not every kid's
sure.
going to learn that way. And if everybody who's listening thinks back, you've all had teachers like that. They just weren't a good teacher for you. Okay, and you did. Mm-hmm. And I had a math teacher in high school who was not a good teacher for me. Unfortunately, I mm-hmm. stuck with him all 3 years. Okay.
Yeah.
So, but I mean, I didn't learn anything because his style of teaching was not for the way I learned math, which was fairly weak
right.
anyway. Those were the old days, okay? Unfortunately, and actually what you just said are the new days. And that's why we've got to, when it changes your son's attitude, and you multiply that times 35 million kids, and pretty soon you're on the right track here. Okay, we can do it.
Mm-hmm.
And no, we got to leave in just a minute. It's a No More I Hate School campaign at nomoreihateschool.org, which is part of Future of School. And you can just Google mm-hmm. those things or just use the links I put on there. And I'm telling you, we got to do this. Amy, you're doing good work out there. I got to tell you, you always have been. You really do good work.
Thanks,
yeah.
Larry. Thank you.
Really.
It's always a pleasure to talk to you. And thank you for all of your listeners. I'm here.
I mean, I just think it's – you're really thinking and you're really trying. And you're trying to make a difference and you're doing that. Okay? And it's hard.
Yeah.
It's hard. So keep it up. Be resilient these days. Okay?
Yep. Will do. Thank you, Larry.
Thank you, Amy. You're the best. Thank you, my friend. Bye-bye.
Oh, thanks. Have a great
You're
day.
Welcome.
Thanks.
You too. Bye-bye.
Okay.
Oh, Amy, I accidentally cut you off. I'm sorry. We're going to archive this show over at ace-ed.org. Okay. Please listen. Go over to Future of School. Go over to nomoreihateschool.org. They do good work. Amy's great. Okay. What can I say? We're going to archive at ace-ed.org. I'm Larry Jacobs. Hey, everybody. Happy Monday.